The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on the final day of September. It's September 30th, 2019. To all of our Jewish friends, Happy New Year. The Jewish New Year beginning last night, I believe. You are listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we make it very convenient for you to hear all of our programs. They're all very nicely archived for you. And all those podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number 790-2040. We begin this Monday as we have each Monday since we launched our program in January of 2011 with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, Bob Westerman is here. Bob is a former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Dr. Don Jorgensen is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, how are you? Bob, you have a nice weekend?
Yes, I did. It was real nice. I had that nice rain, you know. And nice, I thought it was a nice...
Yeah,
we're getting a lot of rain.
It was the kind of rain the gardener, you know, gardeners like myself love because it was nice, soaky rain. Not a big, hard rain that comes and goes very quickly. Don, how are you?
I'm great. My wife's the gardener, and she loved it for that reason.
Yeah.
I loved it because we didn't have to run the water all weekend to water this plant. So
yeah.
I was happy, too.
Yeah, and isn't there something about nature's rain versus out of the garden hose, Bob Westerman?
I would think so.
I don't know. I've always
certainly
wondered,
sounds that
I wondered
way.
About that.
Yeah,
you know,
but I have my own well, so it comes out of the ground, but
okay.
Maybe it's better coming aerated or something
yeah,
through the air.
So.
Something.
Yeah,
the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. The Moe's specializing, of course, in custom frame mirrors. We have a couple of their beautiful mirrors in our bathrooms. Art for your walls, some great stuff there. Of course, where they really excel, they've got wonderful framing services that they perform. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Well, gentlemen, obviously, impeachment is at the top of the list for everybody's topic. And you know, Don, we'll begin with you. This is going to dominate our political scene for a long time.
It will. It has been, and it will. And, there's one man responsible for that who has tended to dominate the news one way or the other every day, and Donald Trump has brought this upon himself with his own words and has really left the Congress no choice but to move forward with the impeachment inquiry. It's really their constitutional duty at this point to do it. When you look at this abuse of power for political gain, that's really the definition of an impeachable offense. You really have no clearer example. That's, in fact, one of the examples that the founding fathers used when this was put into the Constitution. James Madison said, we need impeachment because the president might betray his trust to foreign powers. And that's the kind of abuse we've seen, along with one of Donald Trump's other favorite actions, and that's obstruction of justice, as well as now, as we've also seen over the weekend, threats or intimidation of witnesses, and in this case, the whistleblower. So you're right, it's going to dominate the news, competing with the 2020 election and all of that.
It's a risky political strategy.
Left them no choice.
This is risky for the Democrats, Bob Westerman.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
Let's face it, Trump's base is going to rally around him like...
Well, he has. He's already raised a whole lot more money since this came out. Like you said, Don, this has been happening. It's not just new. We've been in the impeachment phase of this since he's been elected president. They've been saying they want to impeach him for off and on for the last 2 years a lot. Certainly they were hoping that the Mueller report would be the smoking gun and they can impeach him for that. That didn't work because he wasn't found guilty for any of those things. And it was a rabbit hole that I think didn't work out good.
He wasn't found innocent either. You have to be
straight
about that.
I don't know. If you can't be, that's kind of a weird way of saying it. Usually you're you're innocent and proven guilty. You're not just guilty until you're proven innocent. And so we don't want to turn that around. But, you know, I think that the impeachment has been around for a while, and it's a rabbit hole. They're going down another rabbit hole now with this telephone call thing. There's nothing there that was impeachable in the first place. There's nothing impeachable now. They are bringing up all kind of conjecture, suppositions. They've got to have facts and evidence to back it up. Didn't work the first time, and this current approach towards impeachment is not going to work this time because they still don't have the facts and evidence to back it up. They have a lot of conjecture. They come up with timelines. Well, you know, Adam Schiff come up with a whole new transcript that wasn't even what was written. So there's a lot of stuff going out there to turn this around and try to make this thing as, hey, he's guilty. That's all there is to it. Let's impeach the guy and get him out. But in doing that, and I think that may be playing into Donald Trump's hands. I think if they go down the impeachment run, I think they're going to take all the spotlights, all the oxygen away from the elections, from the Democrats.
Yeah, I wonder about that, what this will do to the candidates. The Democratic candidates aren't going to really have a lot of attention. And I don't know, I think the New York Times was saying it really doesn't help. This doesn't help Joe Biden, Don Jorgensen. That Elizabeth Warren may be the one that this will help.
That's very possible. I don't think it will hurt the campaign as much as folks believe it will, because there's even as simple and direct as this impeachment inquiry can be and should be.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't want to tune into it 24/7. And the alternative is looking at the campaigns and the candidates who will have to continue to weigh in on their views about it. But it's relevant. And as you say, it may help certain candidates, particularly Elizabeth Warren, because I think one of the results is, even though the attacks by Trump and the Republicans on Joe Biden are completely out of whack and completely false with regard to what they're claiming, it does throw him back into that group of kind of longtime politicians that folks have really, in a sense, had enough of. And it kind of reminds everyone that he's been there a long time.
Right.
He's part of that. And Democrats in particular always look for change and someone new. And that does play into those that want to see someone new, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Klobuchar, one of the other candidates.
What do you think, Bob?
Well, yeah, it's funny, Joe Biden, if you want an example of how you can have corruption and holding the hammer over another government's ahead. I mean, when he went over there, he was on video saying, "Look, I'm not going to give you this billion-dollar loan guarantee unless you get rid of that prosecutor," which, by the way, happened to be the prosecutor going after his son's company. That sounds like corruption. And so, you know, he brought that on by himself, and I think that's not going to go away. Interestingly enough, I think when you talk about impeachment, by the way, the current crop of Democrat candidates are kind of staying away from that subject. Which is good. I think that works for them, and I think it'd be nice to hear about the issues, which I think they're trying to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're staying away because they have seen polling that up until this most recent poll, which does kind of tip the scale now. I think it's 55% of Americans now are backing impeachment, at least an inquiry into impeachment. But I think the candidates know this is risky ground, Jorgensen.
It is. Bill, let me take a minute, maybe two at the most, to really clarify this whole issue about what Biden was involved in, because you just heard the Republican false attack from my friend here, and it's completely bogus.
I guess the video wasn't clear enough.
Pardon?
The video that him saying
that. See, this is twisting, so let me educate you a bit about this. Yes, Biden went to Ukraine and said, "You need to fire this prosecutor," on behalf of the United States, who supported that move, as did all of the other Western countries and NATO countries and the European countries, all wanted this guy out because he was not prosecuting the companies and those that were perhaps involved in corruption in Ukraine. They wanted him out because he was not doing his job, including because he was not investigating this particular company. Not because he was, because he wasn't. They wanted him out so that they would get a prosecutor in that was not beholden to Russia and that wouldn't conduct these investigations. And by the way, at that time, Joe Biden's son was not on the board yet of that company. That came a year or two later, so there was nothing there. And even if it was, it'd be irrelevant, but there wasn't. And the reality is, when the next prosecutor came along, who wasn't pro-Russian, found nothing wrong with that company, again, separate issue, because the point is, Joe Biden was there representing the United States, not seeking personal political gain. And those are the facts that you won't hear from the Republicans.
Should have been maybe a different choice than Joe Biden to go do that, send that message.
The Vice President of the United States?
Well, he had some conflict of interest here.
Well, if you want to talk about vice presidents, let's talk about Mike Pence's involvement in this. He was also going over during the last couple of months, as it's starting to come out, representing Pence, was representing Donald Trump. We don't know now if he was working alongside Trump's private lawyer Giuliani in seeking these kind of quid pro quos we've been hearing about. So if there's an investigation needed, it's about what Mike Pence was doing over there on behalf of the U.S. and why he canceled the visit to talk about providing the funding that had already been approved, in fact, holding it up.
That's just more conjecture, more... Those are questions about Pence's involvement that should be answered. Which requires more investigation. I agree with that. But it also requires finding the facts and not just repeating the same suppositions again and again and again.
Hence the need for an impeachment inquiry. So I'm glad you agree that there should be an investigation. That's what this is all about.
I'm pretty sure that's playing in Donald Trump's hands. But if there's an investigation, a need for investigation, by all means, go for it.
All right.
That's what the democracy is all about.
We will pick up on this, 790-2040, if you'd like to put in your comment on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off. Bob Westerman is seated to my right and Don Jorgensen to my left. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen is here. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Bob Westerman's the former chair of the Republican Party. On the face of it, it seems like this could go, Bob, in a path that would look like, yes, because the Democrats control the House, that the articles of impeachment would be presented to the United States Senate. But there, of course, the Senate is dominated by Republicans. But still, you would need two-thirds of the senators to vote to impeach
right.
and remove the president. It just doesn't look like that's possible.
Well, you know, it. You won't know until
we don't know.
You
but
get
I
there.
Mean,
it's you know, a discussion about there are Republican senators. It was a private vote, a closed vote.
That I they saw would that. Vote yeah, that, that way. It was private.
But it's not going to be that way. So that's kind of a you know, that's kind of a dream. But you know, it's as far as the House concerned. You're right. Democrats control the House. They can put forward a article of impeachment. You know, the one's been already been written by a Democrat already in that case. I think what they have to be careful as they go forward there is that it's on really solid ground. And I think that's what they're hoping to do. And I think that's what Adam Schiff is supposed to be out there. He's kind of Pelosi's, you know,
point
or something
man.
Out there.
taking care
point
of
that.
Man,
but,
yeah.
you know, and that's his job to do. And we'll see how that goes. Because it's got to come out of his committee, I think, Don, is where that's going to come out of. It's not going to come out of an individual. It's going to be out of committee. There's different ways you can get into articles of impeachment. And I think they're going to go through the committee.
I think
to do
the
that.
Public wants this thing to be, you know, professional if possible and fast. I don't think people want this to be just dominate the news for the next year.
You're right. The Democrats have three challenges. Keep it focused,
right.
This impeachment inquiry, on the Ukraine affair.
Yes.
Not bring in all the past, as much as
right.
there is.
Right.
That didn't sway the public.
No.
Keep it focused on the Ukraine affair. You have the facts that Donald Trump gave you with the even just this memo, not even a full transcript from the phone call and hiding it and all that. Democrats have to keep it focused. They have to keep it professional. I think you just used that word.
Yes.
And what that means is in these hearings, the first will take place, the inquiry is taking place in Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee.
Mm-hmm.
The actual articles of impeachment, if it gets to that point, will come out of Jerry Nadler's Judiciary Committee. Both very sober, good leaders in terms of that. But they have to keep their people in line so it doesn't become grandstanding for the news. In fact, the best thing they could do is bring in attorneys to do, or former prosecutors to do the questioning, as we saw at the end of Corey Lewandowski's and such, where you really get good questions, good information come out, and not the preening for the cameras. In addition to keeping it focused and professional, as you said too, keep it timely. This can't be an 8-month process. They're talking about the end of Thanksgiving. I think that's premature. They're on break now for 2 weeks, so it'll be a while. But certainly, perhaps by the end of the year, to make that decision whether to move forward. Then if that happens, it, as Bob said, it does go to the Senate, and you would need all the Democrats and 20 Republicans to hit that number. The one thing we know, though, about politicians is they don't they don't organize and lead parades. They jump in front of the parades that they see going by. And if they see the public sentiment continuing to move in favor of impeachment, I think you'll see those cracks. And once Donald Trump loses the Republican senators, and I believe first, once he loses Fox News, it's over. And you could very well see the first president convicted. But we're a long way from that right now.
A lot of things happen once the articles impeachment hits the floor, because it opens up a lot of different ways that Donald Trump could, argue against the articles of impeachment.
And then Donald,
that could bring some things forward. He could use that to, further either stretch it out or further try to make his point. I think that would be something that, you know, it could backfire. It depends on what comes out and what they do.
I've seen these analysts who say Donald Trump can be his worst enemy in this whole thing with this constant tweeting that he needs to be quiet through this process. And I don't think that's possible. I mean, we had that tweet today about a civil war. Boy, I really hate to see that kind of thing. I hate to go down that path where we've got the president of the United States saying that he was quoting a pastor, I believe, who felt that...
Some far-right evangelical nut job, frankly, that's talking about civil war. And that's something that the far-right, this InfoWars website, has been promoting for several years now since Trump was put in, if anything happens. And for the president of the United States even to quote that, I don't know how many times we can use the word outrageous, but
it's
it really
disturbing.
Is
It really is. And, Bob, you know, those polls have shown it's not just Democrats saying that they think the president's over-tweeting. I've seen some polls from Republicans who are not at all happy with that.
This is hardly news. We've been going through this since he's been president.
And
a lot of Republicans have probably gotten pretty used to it. They just kind of roll over, but it's always interesting to see what President Trump's going to do next.
And that's very telling, though, is how far he has pushed those norms of decency, and the Republicans have stayed silent about it and just thinking, oh, it's just Trump. But it's not just Trump. It's the president of the United States doing this. And as you say, Bill, he's his own worst enemy in this case. It's through his tweets that he intimidated and threatened a witness, a whistleblower who's going to be a witness, in itself could be cause for an article of impeachment.
But there is a lot of people out there that see his way of communicating.
They think it's refreshing.
Well, as compared to how politicians communicate.
Yeah.
You know, politicians, they lie all the time too. They're out there exaggerating things, and they have a way of communicating their views and the issues, and Donald has his. And again, there's a group of people out there who say, hey, that's kind of refreshing. I like to see that. They see that as a difference. Now, you can either agree that's a good idea or not, but it does influence some people to think that maybe he is draining the swamp. Maybe he is getting rid of some of these old political, you know, talking heads.
If Elizabeth Warren becomes the front runner, and there are indications she is, a lot of the polling showing that she is the front runner right now among Democrats, when does she pull back Don Jorgensen and move to the center? Because she has to, I think, if she's going to get elected.
Not until she wins the primary.
Okay.
You know, again, any politician isn't going to change what's working for them.
Okay.
And right now, she's operating on her beliefs.
She's getting good crowds.
She's getting the largest crowds, of anyone. 15,000 in Seattle, I think close to 20,000 in New York City. She's a populist and very popular. Mm-hmm. And using kind of the mirror image of Trump's campaign approach in terms of appealing to kind of not just the minds, but the hearts and minds of voters, doing it in a very positive way versus attacking. And mean-spirited the way Trump was.
Where Hillary never could kind of get that energized group. You know, she was not that great a speaker, not in, you know, speaking to big crowds.
And she was old guard.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren's campaign, in one sense, is Bernie Sanders 2.0, even though Bernie Sanders is still around.
Right.
But she's captured that energy and the sense of her being the new alternative that Bernie had in 2016.
He should have to move to the center. The question is, you know, can she move to the center? I find that'd be an interesting thing to pull off. But in today's world, it's harder to do that than it was before, because now there's so much coverage, so many sound bites, so many videos of her being very explicit about positions, very explicit about what she wants for the United States. To have that and all of a sudden say, maybe I really don't want to do all that. I could do something different. To move to the center, you know, it's going to be hard, because the right's just going to play those things over and over again. It's really going to be hard to see how that goes. I don't know if Biden's completely out. You know, there is a large amount of Democrats that don't want socialism or socialistic type of candidates. Who do they have to pick? And maybe I'm wrong, Don. Maybe his way out. But I think a lot of me look at Biden as being, which, by the way, he's certainly not moderate, but, you know.
I think you're right that none of the top tier are out. And there's only one socialist, and that's Bernie Sanders, who called himself that. Elizabeth Warren's a capitalist. She describes her capitalist views, but it's certainly a different form than what Trump believes in. But at this stage, it is still, we don't think of it as being early, but compared to past campaigns, it's still early. We haven't had a primary yet. We haven't had a caucus yet. Iowa's
still,
in February.
Four or five months from
right.
the first
and as we've talked
caucus.
About this before, you go back looking at previous campaigns, you had Howard Dean at the top, you had Gary Hart at the top
yes.
at this point, you had the folks opposing Donald Trump, there was a different one every week at the top. So it is much too early to tell. Joe Biden's been around a long time. He knows how to fight. He knows how to connect with people also. And so I think we're going to see this campaign go at least toward into March and South Carolina and those big primaries then. And who knows?
The October debate is when? Do you recall? And where is it, the next one, the next Democratic debate?
I believe it's October 15th. I don't recall where.
Okay. Don Jorgensen.
It's on TV.
All right. There you go. Don Jorgensen and Bob Westerman. Thank you, gentlemen.
Pleasure.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe for all of your specializing in all your framing needs. Of course, they've got those great custom frame mirrors. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, moesgallery.com. We have CBS Network News. We'll get a CBS News Minute. We'll hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors and then be back with you on 10:30, The Voice.
CBS News Update. President Trump continues to sound off about Democrats' efforts to impeach him.
When the whistleblower reported it, he made it sound terrible. And then you had Adam Schiff, who, even worse, made up my words, which I think is just a horrible thing. I've never even seen a thing like that.
The president says he wants to meet the whistleblower face to face. Democrats say revealing the identity could compromise his or her safety. Virginia's Senator Mark Warner.
If this whistleblower's identity is revealed, I think it would be absolutely appropriate to put some protection on this person.
Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Lawyers for the whistleblower dispute Chairman Schiff's claim that an agreement has been reached for the whistleblower to testify. They say that details are still being worked out and that no date or time has been set yet.
CBS News Update. I'm Jim Shanavi.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this final day of September. It's Monday, the 30th of September. Buckmaster on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's such a pretty time of year over there. Just a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, the southwest portion of that state. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, in the high country. The autumn leaves are changing, so it is a very pretty time of year in Silver City. Let's welcome now one of our two dozen contributors to this program, Keith Rosenblum. Is our Mexico contributor, and justifiably so, because he knows lots about Mexico. He has covered the border for not only the Arizona Republic, but also the Arizona Daily Star, and Keith knows a lot about Mexico. How are you, sir?
Keith is, I think you know I've been trying to get acquainted with all 123 million Mexicans, Bill, and I'm pleased to report that I'm just shy of 272,000. So as long as I am blessed with several more incarnations, I foresee being able to tell you and your listeners about Mexico, but not based on just hearsay or what we think, you know, like not anecdotes, mm-hmm. but actually the net, the gospel from all 123 million.
There you go. Interesting weekend interview in the Wall Street Journal with a writer I admire. I've enjoyed his travel books, and he's traveled the world, Paul Thoreau. He's got a new book coming out. This man is really prolific, 56 books. And this book's about Mexico and his sojourn south. It's titled On the Plain of Snakes. It will be released early, I think, actually in a couple of weeks. But anyway, he has some interesting things to say about the border fence. He said it's a viable, visible example of national paranoia. Tucson's even included. America fears its southern neighbor, Mr. Thoreau says. Quote, there were people in Tucson, Arizona's second largest city, 65 miles by car from the border at Nogales, who'd never cross to the other side because Americans are afraid of getting sick, stranded, or robbed in Mexico. Some of your thoughts, Keith?
Well, first, I don't see why you'd call him so prolific when he's only 54 books more than me. I mean, you and your superlative, it just ticks me off. But I am a... I've enjoyed his literature, and I saw the Wall Street Journal piece, and I have the following to say. There are three groups of Americans, and I go across every race, and I go across every religion, and I go across every other kind of strata there could be, disabled people, every category. And the three categories are this. There are people who will never go to Mexico because we know the Mexicans are bad people and they do horrible things to us. They're just waiting to suck our blood out of us. there's a another group that that I probably belong to that says people to people everywhere you go. And I don't care what my government says. I don't care about travel warnings. I don't care. Everybody in the world shares a desire to wake up next to someone that they love, have a good cup of coffee, do something redemptive during the day, and go to bed with someone that they love. That's, and we don't distinguish by nationality or other things. And the middle category, the middle group, are people who can be swayed. It's like, you know, Mexico this, or Guatemala that, or Honduras that. And I'm not saying these are of equal size. That middle group is a huge one. And the extreme groups are much smaller. I can't deal with percentages. I don't know how many they are. But what Paul Thoreau says, I live every day, and I guess it's kind of a, I wince. That's the best way to describe it. I wince when I hear people say they don't go to Mexico. I don't go because I don't go. Because I guess I've been coming for so long, and I guess I've been coming. I guess only time will, the Linda Ronstadt line about time washes clean all wounds unseen. I think that that it's going to change. Let me go to Keith Rosenblum's life. At when I'm growing up in Evanston, Illinois, not far from where I believe you grew up, or in
yes,
the same city you
yes.
grew up,
mm-hmm.
We had no blacks. There were no black people. The only black people that I saw were the ones that were bussed into Noyes School or Orrington School, the elementary school, and then later to Evanston Township High School, where the black population was maybe a fourth or a third. Mm-hmm. And there were just whites and blacks. There were no Mexicans. There were no Asians. There were no Latinos of any kind. There was no one else. This is, I'm talking about 19, I graduated class 1974. I learned. I learned to be distrustful of black people. This is the way you were. I hate to, you know, like confession time here on your show, but that's what it was. You grow up in a really white suburb, and you are not. And there's a natural, as much as you want to be, as much as you want to be open as a little kid, I never thought this is my. I never thought black people could swim, because at the pools where we swam, where we had a mandatory swims, or either camps or the pool, or the classes, no blacks swam because they hadn't swam. But I thought there was a physical thing. I thought they couldn't swim, like, for buoyancy reasons or something. It's ridiculous. But I look at this now, and I realize that this is the same mentality. I hope that I've surpassed that now. I hope that I'm a more enlightened Keith 50-some-odd years later. But when I hear these stories about the Mexicans, or about I don't go because of, or as if, what I hear is the dehumanization of people, and I hear the same traces of what Hitler and the Third Reich did so well, which was to dehumanize Jews, of course, but to dehumanize gypsies, dehumanize gay people, dehumanize disabled priests. Those get long, it goes on and on. So, yeah, I mean, he's absolutely correct. You do see this, and I find myself thinking, when I see this, I think to myself, just caveman, basically, or not fortunate enough to have ever been able to be open to being enlightened and to realize how these views, how arcane, how wrong, how prejudicial, how arcane or anachronistic, whatever you want to call it, they are. I'm in Nogales, Mexico right now. I was just with the secretary of the city. They call it the secretary. It'd be like a lieutenant, like a vice mayor of the city of Nogales, Sonora. And we were talking all about the issues that they have when it comes to dealing with the Chicano border guards when they go back into the U.S. and how there's a kind of an institutional arrogance or nastiness that the Mexicans have to put up with. Ask any of these people in Mexico what they would rather have, who they would like their crossing, their CBP or border patrol agent to be, and they'll tell you right away, give me a white guy, a white woman, a black guy, a black woman, an Indian, an Asian, an Eskimo. Give me anything. Don't give me a Chicano. That is a Mexican-American. There's because we know those are the ones who are going to put the screws to us the worst. There's what's called in Spanish, ajuste de cuentas. It's an evening of the scores that goes on between a lot of Mexican-Americans and Mexicans. We don't even see that in our world, Bill. I've learned, because I get to see it every day. But anyway, these are the types of things that if you allow me to fast forward, I believe that we elected a president who has been able to tap into these reserves of xenophobia or fear that everybody senses. And back when I worked for Jim Colby, Jim used to say, he used to open his town halls or something and say, trust, how do I say, something to the effect of, yes, I'm from the government, trust me, I'll take care of you, I'll protect you. And it was like a, it was a one-liner. It was like a stand-up comedian act. And yet, what we got with our current president, I think, is that. We've learned to be fearful, and we've long ago ignored the Roosevelt line about only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And we love fear. And we need walls, and we need everything, and we're able to demonize or to dehumanize people at every turn. The Mexicans. You know what? There's a lot of horrible Mexicans. And you know what? There's a lot of horrible Tucsonans. I would include you at kissing it. I don't know. But anyway, of these horrible people, I'll tell you what. You find me tell me about a mass shooting in Mexico anywhere in the last 20 years. You have the disappearance of the 47 students at Ayotzinapa. But you know what? Political forces there, drug forces there. It's not the innocence of people being shot to death at a concert or in a Walmart or in a bar. There's an awful lot of things. If I was going to take that same approach to Thoreau, flip it, I can tell you about the Americans and how what a foreboding, treacherous people we appear to be. We're not. We're the same as the Mexican. But guess what? Stereotyping or branding in 2019 in the United States, unlike in Europe, I think, and unlike in a lot of places, we're just susceptible or gullible or vulnerable to it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Keith Rosenblum stays with us from Nogales, Sonora. He's on the live line. It's the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Studio at 10:30. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. Green Things, a destination not only for all the great plants that you need for your garden as you do your fall planting, also for Zocalo, all that merchandise from Mexico. Much of it handcrafted. It's beautiful things from Peru, Ecuador, all over Latin America, and some European items as well. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Website is greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com. Speaking of Mexico, Keith Rosenblum, our contributor on Mexico, is in Nogales, Sonora. You were speaking in the first segment with you, our last segment before the break, Keith. You were with the what would be the equivalent of the vice mayor in Nogales, Sonora. Have they seen a dramatic drop in visitors to Nogales since this heightened activity along the border?
No. The thing is that tourism, as in buying a leather, you know, as a belt or sandals or a ceramic duck from Oaxaca, that all vanished a long time ago anyway. So, No, this has no impact on it. Tourism, so that Bill Buckmaster can have a $10,000 dental job done for $2,000 has increased quite a bit. And so you still see people coming in on both sides. And I'm not talking just about dental, but also medicine. There's a lot of people who come, me included, who come for medical care or these types of things. So I don't believe from what I see, I mean, I can only gauge it online. I haven't looked at the data for a while, actually, but I don't think there's been any drop off at all. And in fact, there's plenty of new, there's lots of new business. I want to take a moment to actually, I talked about this briefly with you last time, but I want to let you know that Nogales now has one of the premier experts on composite materials. Those are the things that are used in aviation, as an Airbus or Boeing or Bombardier, bicycles, carbon fiber bicycles that weigh less than a pound or two, as opposed to 40 or 60 or 80 pounds. Arturo Medrano moved from Mexicali. The mayor of Nogales, Fuyol, was able to recruit him. And Arturo has now moved here. He'd probably be living in Tucson soon and commuting to Nogales. But this is a guy with high DOD clearance. That is our DOD. Who has done incubator work in Mexicali and Querétaro on composites. Look for Nogales to appear on the map of industries that use composites, a huge deal. And that's the kind of thing that I like. I'll talk about these other topics. I'll talk about having seen you once fly out of Phoenix Airport, in fact, incognito. But
that's good. No, that's not true. It was not me. Tucson International Airport.
You thought that costume, you thought dressing up as a superhero would disguise you. But anyway, Nogales has a Parque Industrial, which is after being owned by run by the Campbell family of Nogales, Arizona, and others, has now reverted to the city of Nogales, Arizona. And Arturo is going to head that as well. And there's a lot of very cool things going on. And especially, I mean, I'm not in favor of beating up China. I like a lot of the goods in my house. Most of them are probably Chinese. I go as a religious pursuit. I go to the 99 cent only store, and I believe 90% of their stock, except for the bread, is from China. And I buy stuff. One of the unintended consequences of beating up China has been to make Mexico very attractive, like never before. China has gone from being, during the Trump administration, China has gone from being our friend and a great place to do business and, you know, wonderful quality control and, you know, what you need. Don't worry about the times. They'll get you exactly what you want. And to being a rival and an enemy. And, you know, they have us kind of that same xenophobia we're talking about with a slightly different Asian tint to it. What we have now in Mexico there's an awful lot of companies that say, you know what, yeah, that tariff scenario with China and what's to come, business does not like uncertainty. They don't like presidents or anybody else slapping 20% tariffs or 40% or 5% and then taking them off again. You can't run a business. You certainly can't run a factory when day to day you face new tariffs or new non-tariff barriers. So Mexico is, and Mexico in the meantime signs a free trade agreement with the U.S., a new one. So you know what? I hate to see it at China's expense, but that's exactly what's happening. Mexico is looking awfully good, and there's an awful lot of people who are looking at Nogales who have been elsewhere, to say, up until now. And that was part of the conversation today with the people at the City Hall.
Keith, before we go, I was looking at these figures. I was just curious about illegal crossings at our southern border, and it turns out there's been a pretty dramatic increase in illegal crossings after, for years, there had been a dramatic fall. There was an overall decline, actually, since the year 2000. But now you've got a big upswing in the illegal crossings. What's your theory on why that's happening?
Well, I don't have the numbers that you do, so I can't really, if you're asking me to like opine on something that I'm not really versed for, but I'll answer my gut reaction. Number one, it used to take people, back before we had one border patrol person for every square foot of the border, you could make one attempt, one out of every two attempts, Juan would succeed. And then when you started to enforce have everybody along the border and put up these vehicle barriers and all these other techniques to keep people out, it became like one in five or one in six or one in eight crossings would be successful. Sometimes the same people. Sometimes you run back. So it's possible that we're talking about more attempts, but not a lot more in the number of people, because you still, you know, we, for the longest time, we didn't imprison people for trying to get into the country. Now we do. Now we hold on to people for, I think, initially a few, we give them a warning, maybe two or three warnings, and then when they're here illegally, now we put them in jail for up 6 months, a year, but merely for illegal entry. So don't, I guess what I'm saying is don't be deceived by the number of arrests, because a lot of those arrests may be for the same, of the same person, or the same person's family. Beyond that, maybe our toughening up of the legal immigration and all the headaches that it is for legal immigration, you encourage people to take the gamble and do something illegally. I wasn't aware of those, but those are the key theories.
Yeah, and in May of this year, that was the highest number, 133,000 people apprehended after crossing the border illegally, the highest number for 13 years. So you bring up a good point, though. How many of those people?
Yeah, maybe there were 60,000.
Yeah, exactly. Twice, and these people, you know, kept trying back, so over I'm and not, over. Yeah, so that's a good point.
And also, I have to say that, let's say they're all unique people. I don't mean unique, maybe they're boring people, but let's say they're unique in terms of there are actually 133,000 individuals.
Yeah.
You know what? It just doesn't faze me. Spread those people out throughout the United States, and you have really paltry numbers anyway. I'm not saying that's what we should do, but I'm saying for the longest time, the Wall Street Journal's opinion page, as long as we're going to cite Wall Street Journal today, was to the government. I think this goes back to Simpson-Mazzoli too. Hey, Congress, can we not solve a problem that didn't require it? The Wall Street Journal was of the view that it's just not that big of a problem. In the end, the Rosenblums did need somebody to help care for our kids when they were growing up, and we couldn't afford sending them to daycare or we couldn't have a babysitter come over to pay $10 or $12 or $14 an hour. Well, we could afford to have somebody live in who was charged, who we paid $200 or $300 a week. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's the way to go about it. Everybody makes their decisions, but look at the number of candidates for our courts and other public positions who later are disqualified because guess what? They valued the care that their children received, or I should say the care that their children were going to receive trumped worrying about whether someone was in the country legally or not.
All right, Keith, thank you very much. Going to have to run. Have a great day. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Keith Rosenblum, our contributor on Mexico. It's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice in the Green Things Zocalo studio. That's going to do it today. On behalf of John Couch, engineer, producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.